Joining us now, as I said, he was the creator of the USA Today Baseball Weekly. We just had Cesar Bioso on, who knows Paul White, and wrote the book Last Seasons in Havana. But I called Paul this week. I said, Paul, there is just so much going on in baseball. It's time for you and I to catch up. So glad to have you with us tonight. How are you?
Doing great, Marty.
You know Cesar?
Oh, know him well, yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of years together there.
Yeah, he wrote the book Last Seasons in Havana, an expert on it. It's a very well-done book, very well-done.
You know, I tell you a quick story. When I was a kid growing up in the Buffalo area, I remember listening to the radio broadcast of one of the last International League games from Havana, the Buffalo Bisons and the Havana Sugar Kings, and the announcer, Bill Mazur, who was a longtime New York City announcer, talking about Fidel Castro and all the armed troops in the ballpark at the time.
Wow. I didn't think you're that old.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Well, I saw them play. I saw the Sugar Kings play in Miami. And, of course, Orlando Cepeda and I, you know, we test each other all the time with all these names. Orlando Pena, and of course Mike Cuellar came from the Cubans.
With some of my early years going to minor league games in Buffalo, the big slugger was a Cuban, Pancho Herrera.
Oh, come on, Frank Herrera. He was for the Marlins.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
Frank, he was the big hitter for the Marlins. Yeah. I saw him many times. Frank Pancho Herrera, who ended up playing in the men's softball league.
Yes, he did. I was just going to say that. Yes.
Yes, he did in Miami Beach. Come on. Yes. And he had no trouble reaching the fence there.
No, not at all, yeah.
At North Shore Park. What a small world. Well, yes. Well, nothing, no sport does it like baseball. You and I have touched on this many times for the sentimentality. Pujols going back to St. Louis. It was a very, very moving moment. What were your thoughts on it?
It was sort of the perfect situation. In a way, the timing was good. It's almost better that doesn't happen like immediately in the year after when there's still kind of mixed feelings with the fans. I think it was there's a lot of love on both sides. The fans for Pujols, and Pujols still with a special spot for the Cardinals. And, you know, I think the fans have had time to realize, too, look, that was the best thing for everybody at that time. The Cardinals are better off for it. It's hard, you know, the sentimentality aside. The Angels have an albatross of a contract to hang on to. You know, Pujols and Miguel Cabrera, probably the two worst right now in baseball. But it was that moment, and seeing Yadier Molina get involved, who was kind of like the little brother to Pujols. It was great. And that's the kind of thing that's special. And anybody that says they have a problem with some of the camaraderie that's in this game these days, you got to step back and admit that was great.
Yeah, I loved it. And look, he hit a home run today and the place went nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. It helped the Cardinals won, of course, but yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, this is the time of year things are happening, and that's a good segue for you and I. Cardinals are back in it. Looked like they were getting blasted like 3 weeks ago. All of a sudden they got well. Was it the Mets, I think? I forget who they got well against. But they got well against somebody, and they're still going.
Well, everybody's in it now. Not quite, but I mean, Cincinnati's in it. You know, they lost today to the Brewers, but you know they came into today three games out of a wild card. You know, Washington, who everybody thought David Martinez was on the death watch, they're 2.5 games out of a wild card spot, and they're playing the Braves tonight and again tomorrow. You look at the American League. The White Sox are right there in the wild card race, and. There's so much time left, and it's easy for us to sit there and say, okay, the Dodgers are just going to run away, the Astros are going to run away. Oh, by the way, they've lost 6 or 7 in a row. We're not halfway yet, and if you can build a 9 or 10 game deficit in half a season, why can't you make it up?
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, I've been saying this for the last 2 weeks. Unfortunately, the Giants are buried, but if you're a team that you just described, this is a very exciting time over these next 6 weeks to see if you will be a buyer or seller and whether you can stay in it. This is when the focus starts now saying, you know something, baseball is a grind. This is not going to be over in 1 week or 2 weeks. This thing's going to go for 6 months.
Right, and you know what I think I do if I'm a lot of these teams too? If I'm not sure if I'm going to be a buyer or a seller, this is a time, say I'm a Cincinnati, I want to take my good young players and put them on the field for the next month. You know, Senzel for Cincinnati, Winker, guys like that. You know, put some of the young pitchers in there. Let them play. Well, that's what you're going to grow with over the future. If those kids are ready, and over the next month, can maybe 6 weeks to the hard trade deadline, can show you, hey, they're going to make us better. Well, then maybe, yeah, then it's worthwhile to add a guy or two, because the core of your team is still the guys that are going to be important for you next year and the year after that and the year after that.
Good point. Very good point. Boy, the Reds are something, and they, on the road, I think they start off like 0-10 on the road or something ridiculous. And now, all of a sudden, Puig is on fire. Votto's starting to hit again. Senzel's playing. Castillo got beat today. But the Reds and David Bell, they're maybe the biggest surprise to me right now.
Yeah, I think they're definitely in the National League. I think the only thing close to them probably is Texas with Chris Woodward in the American League. You know, what are they doing in the race? And I still can't, at least Cincinnati, I can kind of figure out where the pitching strength is with Castillo, some of the other younger guys, Malley and DeScalfani. They got some reasonable guys in the bullpen. I can't figure out how Texas is doing it, but they are. You know, and the White Sox to a certain extent. But absolutely, in the National League, David Bell's done a great job, because that's a team that started slowly. And it's a team that hasn't won in a bunch of years, and a lot of those guys have been through that. It's so easy for a team like that to say, oh, another one of those wasted years, we're done. But he didn't let them do that.
I like the Cincinnati story. I really do. Pittsburgh loses forever, and then all of a sudden they start winning again. So that's what baseball's all about. It's crazy. Hey, if you talk about crazy, how about Tampa Bay and Montreal? This suggestion that maybe they would split a season, part of the season at Tampa and part of the season in Montreal. What about that?
You're right, crazy. I mean, you know, I would love to see baseball back in Montreal. I love the city. They obviously need a new ballpark. They're not going to play in a Big O. I've been to a couple of those exhibition games. They played at the start of the last several seasons in the Big O, and it's a great feeling. And there are people that they will support a winning team in a good situation. I really believe that. And I really believe the Tampa Bay area would in the same situation, not in that place that they play now. They've got to have a ballpark. It probably needs to be on the Tampa side of the bay. But mixing those two, no. You know, they can describe this any way they want. I think that's just another ploy, another piece in baseball exploring two things. It's a lot like with the A's. We need a ballpark in Tampa Bay to save this franchise. So you throw all kinds of things out there. It's not quite a threat to move, but it's close enough. And at the same time, you start prodding the Montreal situation. Ooh, here's a glimmer of hope. Here's a carrot for you, Montreal. What are you going to do? Can you get us a stadium? You know, let's see who's really serious about putting up money. Is the government serious? Are there private financial folks who will put money into it? I think it's really sort of a stalking horse for a lot of different pieces, but I can't imagine they'd end up with a split.
No, it doesn't seem feasible. There's so much money involved in players' salaries and homes and families.
Yeah, right.
Be really just unconscionable to try to work that out. You know, the great Leonard Coppett always told me when baseball was going through this in the 80s and 90s and all the new stadiums were, you know, being built, and would the cities put in the money or wouldn't they? Baseball always had what he used to call them escape hatches.
Yep.
The White Sox, if you don't give me a new stadium on the south side, we're going to Tampa.
Right.
And now Montreal is the escape hatch, I guess, in Portland. I don't know, Portland,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, we've heard other places. They're all pretty far-fetched. I mean, the ones they've thrown out over the years, Charlotte, San Antonio, no, they're not serious. You're right. It was Tampa Bay, then it became Washington. And really, since the Expos moved into Washington, there hasn't really been that out there. Las Vegas, to a certain extent, maybe, especially now with the success of the hockey team, and it looks like football's going in. You know, not suddenly Las Vegas becomes a viable major league sports town, maybe. But yeah, but you're right. Baseball doesn't have that threat anymore. But really, we're only talking about two cities that need a stadium: Oakland and Tampa Bay.
What do you think about Yankees and Red Sox next weekend in London? Maybe they'll move there.
Yeah, I know. I'm all for growing the game, but that's ridiculous. I mean, I lived in London for a year. It's a gimmick. Maybe it makes money and sells some merchandise, but, nah, I mean, it doesn't do anything for me.
As Art Carney said to Jackie Gleason, Ralph Cramden, he said, Oxford, it's over there in London? Really? I didn't know that. It's always foggy over there. That was the great Art Carney line to Jackie Gleason. But I don't know why I remember stuff like that.
It's one of the great shows of all time.
Really? Hey, you want to stick around for a few more minutes? Let me take a
sure.
quick break. I want to talk about the Mets situation. Peter Alonso today, of course.
Oh.
And the new pitching coach. Number 37 is part of the pitching coach's background, and he was in Chicago, and the pitching coach there had 37 as well. We'll connect the dots when we come back right after this.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Pitches. And Dickerson drives one deep right center field. This one is on its way, and it is gone. And I mean gone. Up onto the balcony. A booming home run for Dickerson. His first game as a Giant. He's 2-for-2, and he's hit a grand slam. Amazing. 6-0 Giants. And that thing was just obliterated. A monster home run up onto the walkway above that high wall in center field. His second career grand slam. He just flew around the bases. Welcome to the Giants, Alex Dickerson.
That's a hell of a lot of depth. Go Giants.
Is that Gary?
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Boy, great call by Dave on that one. That shows you where baseball is today. They bring a guy up from the minor leagues, Alex Dickerson. Now, he's been around before, and he hits one 458 feet. It's the longest ball hit by a Giant this year, and he hits a slam, and he's got 6 RBIs. That is the story of baseball today. Paul White is still with us. Paul, let's talk Mets for a minute. The Mets today, talk about home runs. It's not even the hot weather yet. Can you imagine what's going to be happening here in another month or two? But Peter Alonso today, home run number 26. The Mets crushed the Cubs. But he tied Darryl Strawberry's Met rookie record, and he did it on June, 22nd, wherever we are.
Right, yeah, 21st, yeah, 22nd, yeah. Look, I don't know the reason behind what's going on. I mean, Commissioner Manfred came out this week and tried to talk about, you know, what's different about the ball, trying to allay any fears or claims that there's any kind of conspiracy or it's been juiced on purpose, that there are all these reasons. I don't know. I'm not a physicist, but let's face it. Every day we're getting some new number about length and where balls are going and then who's hitting them. It's different. And, you know, it's exciting to a point, but when the same thing happens over and over and over again, suddenly 450 feet is like, yeah, okay, so what? Saw that yesterday.
Yeah, Mazzara hit one 505 last night, so Dickerson is yesterday's news now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, it's crazy. Well, the Mets, and again, number 37, the pitching coach, Phil Regan, is back, the Vulture,
right.
Who was, 14-1, I think, in the mid-60s, getting all the wins
right.
As a Los Angeles Dodger reliever. That's why they called him the Vulture, because he would take the win, he would blow the save, and then he would get the win. He's 82 years old. He's now the new pitching coach of the Mets, and the pitching coach of the Cubs was 37 years old. When the Mets and Cubs met this week, and of course Phil Regan born in 1937, so that's the connection of the 37s. How about that? Come on, Phil Regan, pitching coach?
I know. They're saying it's interim. I hope it's very interim for everybody's sake. I mean, look, if there's something that the guy, I'm not worried about the age. If the guy's capable and able to handle the job, good for him. And if you feel like he can help your team, I don't know if The Mets situation is kind of interesting because we don't know how to read this new regime. It's sort of the old regime at the top with the Wilpons, the very new and unique regime with the new general manager coming from the eight player agent side, and a Mets team that seems antsy about every little thing that goes wrong. And yeah, a lot of things go wrong, and there's a lot of things that the media in New York at least want to appear as dysfunctional. It's hard to read sometimes. But, you know, look, the Mets are still second fiddle to the Yankees in New York, both on and off the field. They have to accept that, and they have to try to figure out how to make this team better. They have a chance to be a contender, but to be a contender, they have to pitch. That's their strength. Look at the names, and you know, and DeGrom and Syndergaard and Wheeler and the rest, and Edwin Diaz, the closer. And that's how they're going to win. You know, it's great to have Alonso in there tearing it up, but they've got to pitch, and they haven't pitched that well, so there's the scapegoat. Now, where do they go forward? Can Regan come in and, you know, did he tell somebody, hey, I tell you what's wrong with these guys, I can fix it. Well, if he can, good for him. But they've got to do something. But they've got to decide where they're going forward, and do they have a plan? It just doesn't look like it right now.
No, but the Yankees are in the news, and of course the Yankees are killing the ball, and Judge and Encarnacion and Stanton and, you know, Voit, Sanchez, every one of them just killing the ball. And these are, you know, the Bronx Bombers again. They've done it again, but they need pitching. And the rumor is, Joel Sherman had it out last week, they will do everything possible to get Max Scherzer. What do you think about that?
Well, that's nice, but unless they're talking about packaging some of those guys you were talking about, and I mean a Judge or a Stanton or something like that, I can't imagine, especially now with Washington getting back seemingly into the race, and they're beating the Braves again tonight, that ownership there still has a hold on what Mike Rizzo, the general manager, does there. And I've heard people talk around the Nationals that ownership loves the concept that Max Scherzer has a chance to be their first Hall of Famer. And they really covet that, and they will do whatever it takes to keep him. So I can't imagine that the Yankees can come up with a package that would bring Max Scherzer over, short of a package that really hurts the Yankees.
Mm. Nationals back in this thing legitimately back in. Do you see that?
You know, I think they are. They still have a bullpen mess. They're trying to piece that together. That at least is something that's comparatively easy to deal with between now and the end of July with trades. They've got starting pitching that's reasonable. Scherzer obviously is an ace. The other guys in the middle, Strasburg, is inconsistent but fine. And they can be okay. They will score runs with all their pieces on the field. Anthony Rendon doesn't get nearly the attention he deserves as one of the top players in the game. They're good young players. Trey Turner's back and healthy. Soto, Robles. That's a nice team. Does Atlanta have a little more talent? Maybe, but I don't think Atlanta's pitching is any better. So, yeah, if the Nationals can continue this weekend to chop into Atlanta, the Phillies are kind of all over the place. Yeah, I think they're definitely in the race.
Yeah, why not? You mentioned Rendon, who's like first or second in so many categories in the league. The All-Star voting is out, and the top three for third base, you can only vote for one of the three. Arenado, Chris Bryant, or Josh Donaldson. Goodbye, Rendon.
I made a little list last night when that came out of the best guys that I can't vote for this week, and he's my number one guy. Absolutely.
Oh, good. We're going to talk about this before the All-Star game. Paul, thanks so much as always. I appreciate it. Great stuff.
Always. A lot of fun, Marty.
Great stuff. Thank you. All right, that is Paul White back in Washington.